We're going to start here on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Bet with the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues to discuss what we began in the previous Mishnah, which is the idea of Vestot, and really moves towards the fundamentals of Vestot, which we're going to see today. And in the beginning of the Gemara, we're going to see is a very, very fundamental Machlokot Rishonim with regards to Vestot. The Mishnah says, Haitali Mudali Ot Ro'ah Yom Tedvav. She normally saw on the 15th of the month. So that means that she saw every 15th of the month, and she already had established a Veset. She already established a cycle that she would regularly see on the 15th of the month. Vishintali otro ali yom chaf. Then all of a sudden, one time, she instead of seeing on the 15th, she starts to see on the 20th. Ze vize asurin. At this point, in the next month, both the 15th of the month and the 20th of the month will be problematic. The 15th, because she already had a veset kavua, as it's known. She had a fixed cycle that turned out to be on the 15th, and she has to worry about that. And we'll see at the end of the Mishnah, you cannot undermine a Veset Kavua until you have three times that it's not on that day. The 20th is because every time you have a single sighting, we worry for the next month about that sighting. So she has to be worried about the 15th and the 20th in the subsequent month. Shinta Pamaim, then she saw twice on the 20th, the Yom Chaf, Zev Zeh Asurim, again, they are both Asurim. 15th, because she still has yet to undermine the fact that she had a cycle that was fixed on the 15th, because she hasn't had three times where she didn't see it on that day. The 20th, again, because that single sighting, or a sighting twice, means that in the subsequent month, we're going to worry about that day. So she'll worry about the 15th and 20th again in the subsequent month. Shinta Shalosh Pe'amim, if in the third time, when she has this change to Yom Chaf on the 20th of the month, then Hutar Tedvav, then the 15th goes away, because now I've taken a fixed cycle and I've undermined it with three sightings that are not on that day, and that takes away the original fixed cycle of the 15th, and now she switched to have a fixed cycle on the 20th of the month. Now, truthfully, I explained this Mishnah that we're talking about the 15th and 20th of the month, but that's not the way that the Gemara reads this Mishnah. We saw that earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to see that again in today's Daf, that when they read the 15th and the 20th, it means that it's 15 days after she went to the mikveh, and 20 days after she went to the mikveh. It does not change the meaning of the Mishnah or how the Mishnah works, but just should be aware of the fact that that's the way the Gemara explains this Mishnah. It's not referring to the 15th and 20th of the month, but rather 15 days after she went to the mikveh, or 22 days after she had the last sighting, and 20 days being 20 days after she went to the mikveh, or 27 days after she had her last sighting. That a woman cannot establish a cycle until she has a sighting three times. Again, this is premised on, as we saw in yesterday's daf, this position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that three times is a chazaka, and therefore requires three times in order for her to set a cycle in place. And she cannot undo a fixed cycle until she has three times where she doesn't see on that particular date. If it requires a chazak of three to put it in place, it also requires three times to undermine or take away that veset kavua. So now, Itmar, Rata Yom Chamishasa L'Chodesh Zeh. She saw on the 15th of the month, V'yom Tetzayim L'Chodesh Zeh. In the subsequent month, she saw on the 16th, V'yom Shivasa L'Chodesh Zeh. And then 17th of the following month. So Rav Amar Kavala Veset L'Dilug. Create a veset called the Dilug. A dilug meaning that it adds, it's basically a day plus. It's a cycle for every month. She just adds a day to the previous date that she saw on the month before. The first month she saw the 15th. Next month she just adds one. She'll see on the 16th. Following month, the 17th. And then the 18th, 19th. And as Rashi says, v'chein le'olam. And that will continue on forever, that she just adds a day in each subsequent month. I'm assuming that when they return to the first of the month, it'll continue through. And then you'll keep adding a day in each month. Now, Shmuel says, Ad shetishalesh bedilug. That is not sufficient, because you have to have three times that you have this interval. Think about, from Shmuel's perspective, the first time that you saw on the 15th has no bearing about having a cycle that's plus one day. It just sets the bar for now. Every time afterwards, you add a day. But the 15th itself is not a sighting that can determine the dilug. So according to Shmuel, you'll need an additional sighting in order to make it into a sighting of dilug. So now, Neima Rav Shmuel b'plukta d'Rabbi v'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel k'miflegei. Let's say that Rav and Shmuel are arguing in the same machloket as Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. D'Tanya, Niseit the Rishon u'meit. A woman who marries a husband, and then the husband dies. The Sheni, she marries a second husband, v'meit, and he dies. Lishi loti nasei, divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says she may not marry a third time. She's known as the killer widow, and therefore she is not allowed to marry the third time because she has a chazaka already to kill her husband. I mean, not literally with her hands, but anyone she marries dies. Shim Gamliel omer, L'gimel tinasei, she's allowed to marry three men, L'dalet lo tinasei. But the fourth one she may not marry. If three husbands die, she's not permitted to marry the fourth husband because a chazak is established after three times. Again, that's what we were saying before. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the author of our Mishnah that requires three for a chazakah. But the Gemara is suggesting now is that the machloket between Rav and Shmuel will depend on whether you need two or three for chazakah. Meaning that everybody agrees that you need to establish the dilug. In order to establish the dilug, the question is, how many dilugs do you need in order to establish the chazakah here? According to Rav, it'll be two. That way, three sightings is sufficient to have two dilug. Whereas according to Shmuel, you'll need four sightings in order to create three dilugs. And the machlok will be simply, is a chazakah established after two times or after three times? That's the suggestion of the Gemara. So Gemara says, lo, to kuli alma ka Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Everybody holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that it takes three times to establish a chazakah. Meaning that chazakah is not what is determining over here. So what is the machlok between them? Him v'hocha v'hakamith legeid. This is their machloket. Rav Zavar chamishasar miminyono. Rav says that the 15th, the first sighting, counts towards the cycle that she's establishing. Shmuel Zavar, kevin to la b'dilu chazite. Since you didn't see the first time, the 15th, at a skipping cycle, it doesn't count towards it. It's the base, it's the ground zero from which we set the dilug from, but it itself does not count towards that dilug. And that's the machlok between Rav and Shmuel over here. Now, if you look in Tosafot, there's a very, very fundamental Tosafot here, and that's what leads us to this machloket ha-rishonim. Tosafot says, perish davka b'chi ha-gavno. Only in this case is there a machloket between Rav and Shmuel. What do you mean the case here? The case is where you have this 15th, 16th, and 17th. Aval rata begimel chodoshim, she saw in 3 months, o bebet lechodosh, o bechad lechodosh, meaning she saw it on the second day of the month for 3 months, or the Rosh Chodosh for 3 months, then eino tzarech yoter. Everybody agrees that it's sufficient with three sightings. Three sightings is enough, and Tosfot Zeir creates what we call a veset lechodosh, leyom chodosh, for this, a date you see on a particular date. And Tosfot says, v'afilu she'achad malei v'achad chaser. It doesn't matter if the months are malei and chaser, which means that she's seeing sometimes after 29 days, sometimes after 30 days, but she's always seeing on the same date of the month. And Tosfot says that Rav and Shmuel both agree that three is sufficient in that case in order to create such a chazakah. He goes on to explain that also by the case of what we call hafloga. In the case of hafloga, which is where you are using an interval to determine, she sees every 30 days, she sees every 22 days. In that case, everybody agrees you need four sightings in order to plagot. So Tosfot says that in both those cases, Rav and Shmuel agree. But what Tosfot says over here, which is important, is that there's something or a concept called veset achodesh. Veset achodesh means that you can see on a fixed date of the month that you could have a sighting and that you could establish a cycle of veset for nida. Why that's interesting is because the Ramban says can't be. How could you have such a thing? You have a woman who is sighting on the month and has to do with the kiddush achodesh, has to do with malei chaser, you're ending up with a cycle that's all over the place. I'll just read you now the words of the Ramban. It says, V'kore ani al atzmi mikra zeh. I'll say this pasuk about myself. Play a da'at mimeni nisgava lo chala. He a veset mazal yom goreim or mazal sha'a goreim? What is it? Some day or some time counts it? She talui b'yom ha-shavua b'yom ha-chodesh? She la flagot shavota din notain kain. Makes sense when you're talking about fixed intervals that a woman sees every 30 days, every 33 days, every 22 days. That makes sense. Gavar nitmala sa'ata. Because she's already reached the point where cycles come to an end and now she discharges the dam. That's exactly what we see in women. And even with men with certain sicknesses that are cyclical. How could it be that something is controlled by when the molad of Levana is, or whether it's Malay or not? Where do you see such a thing? The Rishonim did not understand this sugya properly. Shani Omer ain veset ela lahlaga shavet. Can only have a veset that's based on intervals. Fi shaoreach bizmano hu ba mit malei v'nofetzet lizmana kavua shehekein tivan shel bnei adam. The Ramban says, I don't know how you could ever have such a thing where every other month she's seeing 29 days, 30 days, 29 days, 30 days, or whatever it is. It makes absolutely no sense. And therefore, there is no such concept as Veset HaChodesh. That's what the Ramban says. There is no such thing. There's only intervals. The only way you can create a Veset is intervals. So what's the Ramban going to do with our Gemara? Our Gemara says the 15th month, 16th, 17th, they could be Malei Chaser, and then the intervals are not equal. So that's what the Ramban writes in the next line. Vezeh she'amru betedvav b'chodesh zeh, v'yudvav b'chodesh zeh, v'yudzayin b'chodesh zeh, b'chodeshim hashavim hu, o b'lemeim, o b'chaserim, He, the Yom Lamed Bet. Our case over here is a case where all the months were equal. Only in a case, or this machloket, only is in a case where they are kulan meleim ukulan chaserim. It's one of those two possibilities. And it's not when you have this chaser and male. And he says very clearly, the dilug that's mentioned in our Gemara is also an interval veset, because ve'ein yom achodesh gareim kviut klal. And there is no such thing as a veset liyom ha-chodesh. He says he thinks the Rambam agrees with him, because the Rambam does not bring down veset ha-chodesh in his sefer in Mishnah Torah. So he thinks that the Rambam agrees with him. But he does say that he doesn't know which way to go. He says the Raiva disagrees with him and the Balei HaTosfot disagree with him. And he says that if we can find something in the Ge'unim that will determine which one of us is right, we should follow them. But until that point, we're machmir for both. And therefore, in the Ramban's Hilchot Nidah, he paskins like the Balei HaTosfot and says that there is a Kviyat HaChodesh, even though it's Maleim Chaser, even though he doesn't believe in it. He doesn't subscribe to it. He does it Lahachmir, and he's Choshesh L'Shitat HaTosfot. It's interesting that the Rashba discusses that there is a Veset HaChodesh, but the Berek Abayit, the Ra'ah, in the Berek Abayit says that there is such thing as a Veset HaChodesh, but the Ramban got it wrong, because the Ramban was basing it on a Chodesh Malei Chodesh Chaser, but if you base it on the real Molad, then it's always the same interval. The reason that we do 30 and 29, 29, 30, is because a lunar month is 29 and a half days plus. But if you did it to the real Molad, then he says if you calculate the Vestot that way, and it comes out that you have a Dilug, that would really be an interval, but you have to do it from the Molad, not based on the date that's set by the Malei and Chaser. Obviously, that's extremely difficult and very hard, and so many of the Rishonim and Achronim reject it for that reason, because otherwise it's a complicated calculation that nobody could do to create a veset like this. In the end, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we are choshesh for the Balei HaTosfot, for the kviat based on veset HaChodesh, despite the fact that the Ramban is koret tagar on this issue. But just to know that this is a very, very fundamental machloket rishonim about exactly what we're speaking about here when we're talking about the 15th, 16th, and 17th. Are we talking about what's called veset HaChodesh? That's what Balei HaTosfot say. That's what the Rashba says. The Rosh brings it down as well. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way? Or are we talking about a vesek of halaga, of intervals, which is what the Ramban says that we're speaking about over here? And then you have to create some ukimta, which is we're talking about months that are all equal, that there is an equal interval between all of these dates. All right, now the Gemara says etave. Gemara says that we have a question on the position of Rav, that Haitali mudali yot ra'a yom tedvav, she normally saw on the 15th of the month, v'shintali yom shishasar, and then the next month she saw on the 16th. Zeh v'zeh asurin. Both of these are problematic. Shinta liyom shivasar. Then she changes to the 17th of the month. So in the first month, subsequent to seeing on the 16th, she has to worry about the 15th and 16th in that month. Then on the next month, she sees on the 17th. So in the following month, hutar shishasar, the shishasar is no longer relevant. The 16th is no longer relevant because she only saw once on the 16th. So if you see once, you can be okay, you can get rid of it with one. So when she saw on the 17th, she got rid of the 16th. So in the following month, she'll have to worry about Nesar Chamishasar v'Shivasar. She'll have to worry about the 15th from her original Veset Kavua of the 15th. Plus, she'll have to worry about the 17th of the month. Shintali Yom Shmunasar. Then on the third time, she sees on the 18th of the month, Huchu Kulan. Then everything is gone. Why? Because in terms of the 15th, the original Veset Kavua, she's now had three sightings that were not on the 15th. She saw the 16th, 17th, 18th. So the 15th is gone. And in terms of what she set up, Veini Sur Elo Mishmanasar Velech. And then from then on, she has a Veset Ledilug. She'll see in the next month, she'll worry about the 19th, and the following month, the 20th, because now she's set a Veset that is based on day plus. Again, Machloket HaRishonim, whether that means Yom HaChodesh, or whether that means for an interval, like we spoke about before. Where it says, Kasha L'Rav. For Rav, this is a problem, because what did she have first? Originally, she was seeing on the 15th. Then we say she has to see on the 16th, 17th, and 18th. That means that you need four sightings in order to establish this dilug, to establish this skipping veset. According to Rav, it would have been sufficient if she had seen on the 16th and 17th, then she would have seen 15th, 16th, 17th. She already has a dilug. Why does she need the 18th? So this, Amar Lecha Rav, this is what Shaul, you asked before, Limuda Shaini. When you're trying to undermine an existing veset, which is already kavua, then you require three to undermine it. It won't be undermined by just having two. So that's what Rav says. There's a difference between a cycle that's already in place and you're trying to undermine it versus starting from scratch where you're establishing a cycle for dilug. Rav says, Utkarila Maika Arila. What was the person thinking when they asked this question on Rav? Why were they even asking this question? It makes so much sense what we're saying over here. It's clear from the Braita that we quoted over here, it's talking about a case of Limuda. So the distinction that Rav is drawing is so obvious, then what was the question? So Gemara explains that he questioned this way. Limuda itzrichole. He thought that the limuda over here was necessary to bring down to dispel us of another possibility, which is, maudutema, I would have thought, kevan to limuda ve'akartia betray zimne. Since it's limuda and it can be undone with two times, akrole, that would have been sufficient. So the limuda over here, it comes to teach us that two is not sufficient by limuda, but you actually need three. And the same would be true by any limuda. So why did it mention limuda? If it's true both for limuda and anal limuda, why did it mention limuda in particular? That's because I would have had a havamina that since she has a fixed cycle and now she's missed twice, it's as if it doesn't exist, the cycle, anymore. And therefore, two would be sufficient. So along comes limuda to teach me, no, then you need three to undermine it. But so would be the din by any limuda. Kamar Shmuel, that it's not the case, that you do need three by limuda, but maybe by any limuda you also do need three. And that's why he brought the question. Rav's answer is, no, the limuda here is different. Limuda requires three dilugim, whereas any limuda only requires two dilugim. Okay, Meitave, Rato Yom 21 b'chodesh zeh. She saw on the 21st of the month. Yom 22 b'chodesh zeh. The next month she sees on the 22nd. Then 23 b'chodesh zeh, and then the 23rd on the next month. Kavala Veset. She established a Veset. So here you have only three sightings. 21, 22, and 23. And she's establishing a Veset for Diluk. This is like Rav. This is going to be a problem for Shmuel. Sirga. Now this is the safe of the Brita, which has no relevance to us, but it's just a continuation. Sirgali Yom 24, she saw 21, 22, and then skipped to 24, Lo Kavala Veset. Then there's no Veset here because there was nothing that continued. She saw 21, 22, 24. There's no rhyme or reason to what's going on here. So Tiyuvtu de Shmuel, this is a strong question against Shmuel. She already had a cycle on the 20th. Vishinta Yom 21. And then she changed to 21. So it's the previous month she saw 20. This month she's seeing 21, 22, 23. Then you really have four sightings. How does he know that? Because Dekanami. Tishavkin in the Yom Esrim, Venaka the Yom Esrim Vechad, Shwamina. As Rashi points out, Shekain Derech Lishon Tanaim, Lishnot Klav, Lishlon Ktsara. You would start with a round number. If you're going to give an example, you would say start from 20, 20, 21, 22. Why did he start from 21? 21 is like a number in the middle of nowhere. He started from 21 because 20 was already in place. And therefore, we really have four sightings over here, 20, 21, 22, 23. And therefore, Shmuel says that's a case of Dilug. And that's why here with three sightings, which are really four sightings, I can create this Veset of Dilug. Now the Gemara continues. Shein la isha kovada Veset achitikvena. I'm Rav Papa. We're going to have two statements here from Rav Papa qualifying this statement in the Mishnah. This is the first one, and then we'll have the second one immediately afterwards. I'm Rav Papa. Lo amran elo lemikvah, aval lemecha shlo abechada zimna chasha. And this is what we've seen until now from many of the Braitot, which is that in order to undermine the original Veset, you need three times to undermine it. Or you have to have three sightings in order to create a Veset. Nevertheless, if you have a single sighting, in the following month you will have to be Choshesh for that sighting. It may not create a Veset, it may not undermine the other Veset, but you still have to worry about it in the subsequent month. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if she saw three times on the 15th, and then on the fourth time she sees on the 20th, then that following month she has to worry about the 15th and the 20th. She does have to worry about the 20th in the subsequent month. So Micah Mashmalon, Gemara says, what are you teaching us here? Tanina, we already saw this in the Mishnah. Gemara says, so until now, I was reading it simply, which is that it sounds like the Mishnah is talking about the 15th of the month of the 20th month. If you remember from earlier in the Masechta, we actually established that this Mishnah is not talking about days of the month, but rather days after she went to the mikveh. It's the 15th day after she went to the mikveh, and the 20th day after she went to the mikveh, which is actually, in reality, 22 days after she had her first sighting, and 27 days after she had her previous sighting. So really, she's having a cycle either, if you're saying 15, every 22 days, or if you say that it's 20, she's having a cycle every 27 days. So what the Havamina would have been is, the only reason that we allow you to be Choshesh in the following month for a cycle of 22 and 27 is because in the subsequent month, after you have the month where she sees on the 27th day instead of the 22nd day, in the subsequent month, we worry about 22 because 22 is greater than 18. 18 is a normal Nida cycle. It's 7 days of Tumah, 11 days of Yemei Ziva, 18 days. After you've cleared the 18 days, then you begin at what possibly could be a new Nida cycle. So since the 22 days of cycling are beyond the 18 days, I would have said in that case, I'm Choshesh in the following month. So in a month, if she had been seeing on an interval of 22 days, then all of a sudden in 1 month she sees, instead of 22 days, she sees 27 days. In the following month, she'll have to worry both about 22 days and 27 days. Why is she worrying about both? Because both of those are beyond the 18 days. And that's why I'm worrying about them. But had the interval had been shorter, where it was even within the 18 days, maybe you would not then have to be choshesh in the following month. That's what Rav Papa comes to mechadesh for us, that even if you don't clear the 18 days, you still have to be choshesh for that date in the following month or that interval in the following month. And that's the Kamash Amalan of the Gemara, that even though it will not be past the Yemei Nidai, will not be after the 18 days, we're still going to worry about it in the subsequent month. And that's what Rav Papa adds beyond what we already know from our Mishnah. Now we have another statement by Rav Papa. Amar Rav Papa, lo amran elo dekavatei tlata zimne. It's only if she establishes this cycle for 3 times. Ditzrichei tlata zimne lemakre. Then you require 3 times to undermine it. Aval trei zimne. If you had 2 sightings, bechada zimne miakir. With a single sighting, you can undo it. It's very similar to Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. If you see one on 1 day in the Yemei Ziva or 2 days in the Yemei Ziva, you only have to wait 1 day b'tahara. But if you see 3 days, then you have to wait Shiva Nikim. So same thing over here. If you have a vessel that's established for 3 days, on the other hand, if you sight 1 time or even 2 times, it already undermines them because you have yet to establish a vessel kavua. So anything that's not kavua only requires 1 to undermine it. Again, Mike Mashmalan, what is he teaching us? It's obvious from the Mishnah, Tanina. Eina isha kovada vezet achi tegevena shlosh pamim. Maudetema. So again, what we'd have thought, chada lechad, tre letarte, tlata letata. We would have thought that 1 time to undermine 1, 2 to undermine 2, and 3 to undermine 3. Kamash Malon, that's not the case. That 1 undermines both 1 time sighting and 2 time sighting. The only time you need 3 to undermine is when you had a sighting of 3. Tanya Kavote de Rav Papa, we have a brayta that supports this understanding of Rav Papa. Haitali mudali yot ru'ah yom esrim, shintali yom shloshim. So now we're back to the days of the month, not the intervals. She used to see on the 20th day of the month, and now she begins to see on the 30th day of the month. Zev is asurim. So now she's asur on both of them. The esrim because she had a cycle for 20, and now the 30th because she saw 1 time on the 30th. Higia yom esrim velo rata. In the subsequent month, now comes to the 20th and she doesn't see again. Muteret l'shemesh ad yom shloshim. She's now muteret between the 20th and the 30th. She's muteret because there's no reason to make her a surah. The only chashash we have is on the 20th and on the 30th. Now, v'choshesh ad yom shloshim. Of course, she has to worry about the 30th of the month. Higia yom shloshim virata. And this next month, she sees on the 30th again. That means now she's seen on the 30th twice. And she had seen originally, she had a cycle for 20. So she's had a cycle for 20, and now for 2 months, instead of seeing on the 20th, she's seeing on the 30th instead of the 20th. Then, Higia Yom Esrim, Velo Rata. In the 3rd month, the 20th comes, she doesn't see anything. Higia Yom Shloshim, Velo Rata. And then the 30th comes and she sees nothing. So in the 3rd month, she misses both of them. Both the 20th and the 30th, she misses them completely. Higia Yom Esrim. And then in the 4th month, we come back again to the 20th, Verata. And she sees, number 1, Hutar Yom Shloshim. The Yom Shloshim is no longer relevant. Why is it no longer relevant? Because she had a sighting on the 20th that undermines the 2 times she's 30th. So that's exactly what Rav Papa says. As Rav Papa explained to us, that if you have even 2 sightings, it only takes 1 sighting to undermine it. And that's what we have here. Vanessa Yom Esrim. And the 20th is back in place. Mipnei Shoreach Bizmano Ba. Because the guest comes at the appointed time. Meaning that's her cycle. Her cycle is for 20. She had an aberration for 2 months where she saw on the 30th. But now she's back to on the 20th. What's important here is that there was actually a 3rd time where she didn't see on the 20th. She saw 1 month on the 30th, 2nd month on the 30th, and the 3rd month when she didn't see at all. What Rashi points out over here is, Sharia kira ha'chrona shel esrim ha'chrona shel lo rata shachar shlushim hashniim lava kirahi. That when you had no sighting in that 3rd month, that is not part of an akira. Shelo shinta liyom shlushim hashlishim. You need to have a sighting in order to be okay what you had before. So this is very important. If you have 3 times that you saw on the 20th, and then twice you see on the 30th, but the 3rd time you don't see at all, that is not an akira. Even though it's a 3rd time you're not seeing on the 20th, that's not sufficient. You have to see for a 3rd time on a different date in order to undermine the original 20. So now again, when she sees on the 20th, she goes back to the original cycle, right? Which is, it's interesting because early in the Masechta, we did not think that way. Early in the Masechta, we have cases where, for instance, by Yoledet, by pregnancy, if she has 3 times where she doesn't see, that takes her to be Misuleket Damim. So we call her Misuleket Damim if she doesn't see for 3 times. But maybe that's only for Misuleket Damim. That's not for changing cycle. For changing the cycle, you actually have to have an alternative date on which she sights an absence of a sighting. We'll continue on the next Mishnah. Nashim bibtulehem kigifanim. Women who are betulot are like grapevines. Yesh gefen shiena adom. You have certain grapevines where the wine that's squeezed is yesh gefen shiena shachor. And then you have some of them that are black. Yesh gefen shmubeh. Some grapevines, the grapes that give off tons of wine. Yesh gefen shiena muat. And you have others that give off very little. Basically, what we're saying here is that Dama B'tulim is not consistent between women. Women have different manifestations of their Dama B'tulim. Yehuda Omer, Kol Gevin Yesh B'Yayin. Yehuda says, but there's at least a minimum standard, which is that every vine or every grape gives some wine. Shein B'Yayin, and if you don't have any wine, Dor Keti. So now Gemara explains, what's this Dor Keti? Tana Dor Ketua. This is a woman who is cut off. Because if she doesn't have damim, then she won't have a lot of children. Tani Rabbi Chia, Keshem Shasaor Yafelisa, just like yeast. I would say they call it many, we'll see in a second. That the yeast or the rising agent is good for the dough. Kach damim yafim liisha. So too, plenty of dam, plenty of blood is good for the woman, because the more dam she has, the more children she'll have. Tani Mishum Rabbi Meir, Kolishasha Dameam Rubim, Baneam Rubim. And that's what we have here. That any woman who has a lot of damim, she will also have a lot of children. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying over here, that every gefen has some yayin. If you don't have a dam tulim, expect over here, or that could lead to problems later on. It's an indication of the fact that this woman may not bear a lot of children. All right, with that, we'll end the perek. And now we'll begin the next perek. The next perek begins with the Mishnah that we've already seen, actually, which is tinokot. Lo giyaz manah lirot. Talking about a young girl who's yet to reach the age where she's going to menstruate. V'niseit, and then she gets married. She gets 4 nights to be together with her husband, where all the damim she sees, we assume, is from the dam betulim. Until the wound heals, any dam that she sees is considered to be dam tahor or dam tulim. So now this is the next case. It's a case where she has reached the age where she should menstruate, but she has yet to menstruate. And she got married. She gets the first night, and that's it. She got married on Wednesday, Yom Revi'i. She gets until Motzei Shabbat, which means Arba Leilot. She gets 4 nights. Rata Ve'oda Be'Beit Aviyah. Now, this is the third case. It's a case where a woman who has already begun to menstruate prior to getting married. Then, when she gets married, Beit Shammai Morim Notim La Bilat Mitzvah. All she gets is the Bilat Mitzvah, and then the Dam that she sees then, that's it. That's called to be considered to be Dam Tulim. After that, everything else, if she sees Damim, it's problematic. She gets the entire night. So basically, the Mishnah laid out 3 different scenarios. Scenario in which a girl is below the age where she should menstruate and gets married. The second scenario is where a girl is of age where she can menstruate but has yet to menstruate. And then the third case is where a girl reached the age of menstruation, has menstruated, and then gets married. And in each of these cases, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai has a opinion as to how long we can be toled the dam that she sees on her dam bitulim. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Va'afilu ra'ata, even if she has a sighting of damim, this girl who's below the age of menstruation, what Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying is that even if she has menstruated in her father's house, since she is not of the age when she should menstruate, then Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai's opinions stay in place. Mimai, how do you know that's the case? Mindikam aflik b'seifa. He says because in the latter half of the Mishnah, the 2 cases differentiate. Here is a girl who's of age, and the Mishnah divides it up to between a girl who has menstruated and a girl who has not menstruated. But when below age, the Mishnah never differentiates between whether she's seeing damim or not seeing damim. It says below age, that's the din, period. Ben Rata, Ben Shlorata. So there, we differentiate in the Sefer between a case where she is citing and not citing. Michlal de Reisha, lo shna, hachi, velo shna hachi. Clear from there that the Reisha has no differentiation like that. Tanya Nami Ochi, a bright that supports this. Betila Omrim, Achitachia Maka, that the time period she gets the Toled, the Damim that she sees on her Betulim Tulim is until the wound is healed. Ben Rata, Ben Lorata. Whether she is already menstruated or not menstruated, since she's below the age when she expected to be menstruating, therefore, we do not worry about it. Right now, the Gemara asks the basic question, which is, what does it mean, Achitachia Maka? What does it mean when the wound has healed? So, Ad Kamo, when does this go to? Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Kol Zman Shenocheret. As long as she is Nocheret. Obviously, we don't know what that means, and neither did Shmuel. Kamrita Kamei de Shmuel, when Rav Yehuda said this over from Rav to Shmuel, says, Amar Lei, Nechira Zu Eni Yodea Mahi. I don't know what this Nocheret is. This is a euphemism, but basically any time when she has bi'ah with her husband, she sees damim, that's an indication that the wound is still there. Because anytime she has biah, she's seeing damim. That means that there's some sort of irritation there. There's some sort of wound that's there. And that's still a residual from the dam betulim. If she has any cessation, meaning that she has any time that she has tashmish without seeing damim, that will be the end. And if she sees damim after that, dam tamei and not dam betulim. Same is true. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. Same is true if she has a sighting of damim, not within the framework of tashmish, not within the same day that she had shimush. I mean, if it happens after she has tashmish within that day, then it's fine. But if there's any duration between the time she had tashmish and the sighting of the damim, that will also end this issue. Now, the Gemara goes back and says, Nechira da kama Rav hechi domi. What is this Nechira that Rav's talking about? We know the word itself, Nechira, is used, I think, for the braying of a donkey. Also, Nechira is a nostril. So it has some effect like that. So I'm Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, the day mefarshli mine de Rav, omedet viru'eh, yoshevet ve'enu ru'eh. The differentiation here is that when she stands up, she sees it. When she sits down, she does not see it. Then you know for sure that the wound is yet to heal. If she sits on the ground, she sees. If she sits on something soft, on pillows and mattresses, she does not see. Again, we know that the wound is yet to heal. Because over here in all these differentiations, the position makes a difference, which is an indication that it's not dam that's flowing without any control. It's dam that's flowing because of a wound. And when the wound is irritated, it's the damim are yotzeim. So when she's standing up or when she's on hard surfaces, that causes the wound to be irritated and she has a sighting of damim. On the other hand, when she's in positions that are comfortable, she does not have that sighting. But if it's a sitch, it's abei kulam viro'ah, in any position or any item she sees all the time, agav kulam ve'enu ra'ah, or in all the positions or in anything she does not see, biyadu shechaita makah, then we know for certain that the wound was healed. Now that makes sense when she doesn't have sighting of damim. When she doesn't have a sighting of damim, we know that the makah is probably healed, because otherwise she should have some sort of sighting in this. When the wound's irritated, she should have some damim being discharged. On the other hand, when she still sees damim in all positions, why is that an indication that biyadu shechaita makah? How do you know the wound is healed? Maybe the wound is still there, and the whole problem is that she's still having damim that are coming out all the time. So Tosfot over here says that doesn't mean, when we say biyadua, it doesn't mean we know for certain. All it means is that, it's not a proof. There's no proof that she does, the wound is healed. It makes sense to say that the wound is healed over here, because otherwise there should be some differentiation in when she sees the damim. In fact, there is no differentiation as an indication of a flow of damim that is not tied to a wound. It's no proof that there's a wound is healed, but it's logical to assume that the wound has been healed in this case. Right now, the Mishnah continues with Higiyaz Manali wrote, Itmar, this is talking about Beit Hillel's 4 days. It says that Beit Hillel gives the woman 4 days. If she had reached the point of time where she was the age where she should menstruate, but she has yet to menstruate, then she gets 4 days from Yom Revi until Motzei Shabbat. So now we understand this. Itmar, Shimsha Biyamim. What happens during those 4 days? She gave her 4 nights. What happens if she took advantage and she also had Biyah during the day? So does that detract from her nights? So Rav Amar lo ifsida leilot. She gets 4 nights irrespective of how many times she has Biyah during the day. Levi Amar ifsida leilot. If she uses up the daytime, she gets 4 times to be together with her husband. She can use it during the day or during night. To use it during the day, they're no longer there for the night. So Rav Amar lo ifsida leilot. Why do you know that? Because it says ad Motzei Shabbat. Nan. That's what he says. He says you get to Motzei Shabbat, irrespective of its day or night. Levi says she loses out. Why does he lose out? My arba leilot tiktani. What are these 4 nights that are written? Arba unot. She gets 4 periods of time. So whether that's day or night, doesn't matter. Ularav, lama limitna arba leilot. So according to Rav, what is the 4 leilot here? Orachara kamash malon. It's telling us the normal process, which is the dark of the biya leilot. Enochanami. If she has biya during the day, it doesn't have an impact. But it's just teaching us that normally they have bi'ah at night. So if you go to Motzei Shabbat, you have 4 nights. So why do you have this additional ad Motzei Shabbat to teach you? So you're allowed to have bi'ah for the first time on Shabbat, Kiddush Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Pirtza Dechuka. When you have a tight opening, Mutar Likanes Babi Shabbat, you're allowed to enter such a tight opening on Shabbat. Vafal Pishim Ishir Tzururot. Even though when you go through the tight opening, you're going to knock down some stones, you're going to knock out some pieces as you squeeze through there, because it's a Davar She'enu Mitkavein. Since a darashenu mitkavein, it's fine as long as it's not a psik reshe. And over here, it's not a psik reshe because we'll see later on that Shmuel had the ability to be boel without causing the damim to come out, and therefore it's not a psik reshe over here. So itmar baal v'lo matza dam. He went ahead and he had biyah with his wife for the first time, and there was no damim there. V'chazaru baal, and then he is boel the second time umatza dam, and there is damim there. V'bichinina amar tmeah. That second sighting is definitely dam nida and not dam betulim. Because if it was dam betulim, it should have been there the first time. Rabbi Yasi Amar Torah. That's still dam betulim. Chinina Amar Tmeya Dimita Dava dam betulim Mikaravia. Should have seen it up front. Rabbi Yasi Amar Torah. Rabbi Yasi says, she's Torah. Dilma Yitzrami Leikid Shmuel. Because maybe what happened the first time is that it was like Shmuel. Damar Shmuel Yechon Livo Kama Bilot Below Dam. I could be Boel a betula and she'd still be a betula afterwards. It could do what's called Hataya. In the Gemara and Ketubot, he was able to have intercourse with her without destroying the Dam Betulim. So since that possibility exists, that might have been by accident what happened to this individual. By accident, that's what happened the first time, and that's why the Dam Betulim remained. And the second time, he had Biyah without that, and that's why he hit the Dam Betulim the second time. That's also the explanation before for why it's Mutar L'Chadchila B'Shabbat according to Shmuel, is because it's not Psik Reshe. It's not for sure that you're going to have to knock out the damim, because there is this possibility that you could be boel without knocking out the damim. V'idach, what about Rabbi Chanina? What is he going to do with this of Shmuel? Shani Shmuel, the Rav Guvrei. Shmuel is unique. He is very capable of doing this. Not everybody is capable of doing what Shmuel does. Tosafot over here discusses that. In Ketubot, it sounds like everybody could do this hataya. And that's important, because in order for something to be not a psik reshe, a lot of the Rishonim discuss that it has to be probable. You can't say that something is, if it's a far-fetched possibility, that that's enough to say that it's not a psik reshe. It has to be something that's available to everybody, even though maybe you personally can't do it. But as long as it's something that's plausible, that is considered to be a davreshenim mitkavim and not a psik reshe. There are Rishonim who say that even if it's a far-fetched thing, that it's already enough to get it out of psik reshe. That's based on the Rashi in Zvachim, which on Daf Tzadivah, but talks about mizalfin al yishim. That you can sprinkle on the fire of the Tamid, even though the fire is going to go down, because there's a possibility of doing it without extinguishing the fire. So even though it's a far-fetched possibility, nevertheless, that's enough to make not a psik reshe. All right, just to read one more line in the Gemara, and with that we'll end. Amarav, Bugeret, Notnim La Laila Rishon. When it comes to Bugeret, that's a woman already who's after the age of 12 and a half, then she gets one night. V'hani Mile Shelo Rata. But that only if she has yet to see Damim. If she is already seen, ain la ela bilat mitzvah betulo. She gets a bilat mitzvah and no more than that. Right, so that's a statement of Rav. Tomorrow we'll continue with the questions of the Gemara on this, because that continues all the way through the Amud.